Come along with this experience. Oops, that's the news. According to me. Well, hello, good morning. What is this? This is Wednesday, April 3rd, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in Cleveland, the land of Cleves. I guess wherever they were growing Cleves back in the day, decided to turn this into Cleveland. I am here for a while. Tomorrow morning, I will be in Springfield, I believe Springfield, Missouri. I'm not mistaken. Kind of travel around today, and then I end up in Springfield, Missouri. Tomorrow morning, I'll have the show from there, and it will probably be the Friday show will be on Thursday. I'm hoping that I have a chance to do some clips, audio clips, that kind of thing tomorrow. I'm going to be working kind of late this evening. Not sure how much I'm going to be able to put together for tomorrow. I'm going to try to put together some things for tomorrow's show, actually, today. I do have a few audio clips I'd like to play. One of the things I thought I would do this morning is have you go along with me on this journey of fixing my chai for my cup. So this morning, in this Cleveland experience, I'm going to be dipping, if you can imagine, just in your mind's eye, just imagine in your head, if you would. Come along with me on this journey, if you will. Imagine if you would, if you will, whatever it is. I'm dipping powdered chai mix. I'm on the third teaspoon right now. I'm going to work on the fourth here. It's quite an operation, into some hot water that I picked up from the restaurant downstairs in the area. And I'm putting my spoon back in my chai container, putting a lid on it. I have a little wooden stir thing here that I'm stirring the chai, the powdered chai, mixing, turning it into the chai goodness that is so well known by you, my listeners. I'm stirring this up right now, and it's creating a creamy goodness, the creamy vanilla chai that I'm making. That looks pretty good right there. There's no chunks. There's nothing weird going on there. Now, I've got these little phony half-and-half creamer. Apparently, this is actually real cream here, apparently. Ingredients, milk, cream, and sodium citrate, whatever that is. Probably something to mess with my head, mess with my brain. Anyway, peeling this off, the lid off the top of this creamer, it's liquid, you know, I'm pulling that off. And I'm going to pour one of those in, kind of let it do its little thing. And then let's let it soak into the chai. And then I'm going to pour the next one in right on top of that. So now I have all the creamy goodness happening in my cup here. And I'm stirring it some more. Here we go, tapping off the residual off of there. Putting the lid on. I've noticed, I don't know what this is, why it is. I like the way they design these cups. No matter how you, if you just grab a random cup lid and throw it on a coffee cup, it will almost inevitably the sippy part of the lid will almost inevitably end up in the seam of the cup, which causes it to leak when you go to take a drink. And I don't know how it is. Whenever I pick up a lid, I turn it around 180 degrees, and sure enough, it ends up being on the opposite side. Because I've had so many times when I just randomly throw a lid on, and it seems like it inevitably hits right on the spot where the seam is, and inevitably they tend to leak right at that point. Now, onward and upward, let's talk about the show. And I apologize for the sound quality. I don't have my good microphone hooked up here this morning. I'm just operating off of the microphone of the computer, which is not the best microphone in the world. Tomorrow's show, there will be a much higher quality standard. I will have the microphone out and maybe kind of relax and do the good job with the show. I might even try to go live tomorrow. It kind of depends on my internet connection there in Springfield, Missouri, how well that goes. We'll see how that all works out. I have a couple things I'd like to cover this morning. This is kind of an off-topic thing. It's not really relevant to right now necessarily, but it does tie into some relative stories and some things that we need to talk about and what Trump is facing as he approaches the possibility of the second presidency here. We have, because you have to realize the deep state, when we call the deep state, the academic, the administrative state, I guess you're going to call it that way, not the academic state, not necessarily, but there is part of it. But there is the powers that be behind the administrative state, and the administrative state wields a huge amount of power when you think about how much influence they have and how much ability they have to create stories and do things behind the scenes. And they can do whatever they want to with actual information or with mis- or disinformation or just stuff that they just make up. I was watching an interesting documentary. And again, this is Johnny Harris. Is it Johnny Harris? I think his name. He does these deep dive documentary style deals that usually go about 45, 50 minutes. And he'll explore the Cargill or whatever. He'll go into something about, some particular conspiracy of some kind. He goes into this stuff. And it's like the other day, the one I was telling you about the other day on the other day's show, I think I posted it. Occasionally, I do shows I don't post. He ended up talking about all these coups that the American government has caused all over the world. And one of them was the Grenada issue. And the Grenadines, actually, Grenada is not part of it. Anyway, in Grenada, he called that a coup. And it was, and I've been there and talked to the people, I know what's happened there. And the way he described it was not the way the locals were describing it to me. He made it sound like it was all one-sided, that we just went in, invaded, and that there was nothing. Well, it came up with this phony reason to invade or something like that. It wasn't phony at all. It was very real what was happening to those people. And it was, there's plaques and monuments all over the place in Grenada thanking the American people for what they did. Now, for the brave soldiers that went in there and did what they did. Now, you can try to rewrite history and talk about it. The people who were there at that time, this was back in when I had these conversations, was back in, with people in the 90s, 20 some years ago. And now, of course, they're 30 years later, they're trying to change what happened and try to make it out to be something that it wasn't. So you have to be very careful about that stuff. Now, apparently recently there was a bunch of documents that had been released about Martin Luther King Jr. And interestingly enough, they have discovered that there were letters sent to Martin Luther King Jr. about his... Well, first of all, they tried to go after him because Hoover, at the time, believed that he was a communist, and that he was trying to usher in communist ideals, and it was just an infiltration of communist ideology. Now today, blatantly, the BLM movement actually blatantly proclaims they are a Marxist group, that they are Marxists in themselves, leaders. They don't shy away from that. They have pulled it off their website now, by the way. It was on their website for a long time. They don't believe in the nuclear family. They don't believe in it's just all these different things. So it ended up being by the way, I haven't taken a sip of my chai yet. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. So we have this documentary. And actually, he did a pretty good job of just going over when he sticks to just the facts, it turns out pretty good. When he starts to get into conjecture and all these other things, he tends to go a little bit off the deep end, not terribly, but somewhat. And one of the things he talked about was this, the way the FBI was trying to go after Martin Luther King Jr., they had to get him on some kind of, at the time, communism was kind of the terrorism of its day, where they use terrorist activity now. If you're a terrorist, you have no rights in this country. You can be thrown in prison without it. You can be sent to Guantanamo. You have no rights to a trial. You're just deemed a terrorist, and that puts you on a whole different set of categories. You're an animal at that point. They can put you in a cage and keep you there. Just put the accusation. So we have this situation where Martin Luther King Jr. was. They were trying to get him on being a communist, because that was communism was the communist behind every Bush. Not George Bush, but it's possibly. But anyway, that was the mentality back then. Once you were deemed a communist, they had the right to spy on you. They had the right to go after you. So this was part of the criteria for them to be able to tap your phones. And back then, they tapped phones because they were actually wires. They didn't have wireless phones back then. It's back in the 60s. So we're talking major issues with the FBI. And now, the one thing that this documentary fails to mention, and I want to bring it up on the comments that I make, because I just watched this morning. They were talking about Selma, Alabama, and all the segregation that was going on there, kind of the last stronghold of segregation and everything was happening. And the Ku Klux Klan was marching in the streets. I mean, they had major parades, thousands of people in the Ku Klux Klan back then, back in Alabama. And what they failed to mention throughout this entire thing was that all these people were Democrats. The Ku Klux Klan was almost entirely made up of Democrats, and the Democrat leader and the leadership was Democrats, and even leadership in government entity places were members of the Ku Klux Klan. Remember Senator Byrd, who was actually a grand poopah, whatever they call him, in the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, but he mended his ways, and so there's redemption for your people this is where it all started. This is how stuff works. If they find something on a Republican that he did, they go back and they find stuff that Trump said 20 years ago when he was a Democrat, and they hold it against him. So you have to realize he was a Democrat then. I'm not sure he's a Republican now, but I'm not sure he knows the Republican Party is the establishment's a wishy-washy place. I think he understands that better than ever now. So he had an interesting interview with Sebastian Gorka. I had not seen this interview until yesterday, and he actually was talking about mis and disinformation. And I was just mentioning this a couple days ago in my show about. That was actually part of the title of the show, was about the mis and disinformation that were being scooped up and fed, shoved down our throats. And it's interesting that he was really hitting on that pretty hard, on that issue. And it is an issue. I'm glad he recognizes that. I'm glad he must listen to my show, apparently. Talking about Trump, not Gorka. I mean, Gorka might listen to my show. I don't know. It's possible. I doubt it. I doubt if anybody else guys, and I doubt if any of those people listen to my show. They don't know I exist, but it's you never know though. So it's just no. I'm sure somebody's listening from the government. I'm pretty sure of that. Here's how they do this, and this is. See if this sounds familiar. So what they did is they sent letters to, because they couldn't get him on the communist thing. They did an investigation, and the guys in the field did the investigation. Said there's no ties to any kind of communist organization or any kind of communism. We can't find anything. Well, that ticked off Hoover. He was mad about that. He actually was basically saying that your conclusions are inaccurate. They're wrong. He really wanted and needed to have Martin Luther King Jr. be some kind of a communist, because otherwise he has no any way to go after the guy. So what ends up happening is they go after him on another route. Now, let's see if this sounds familiar to you. They come up with these letters, they come up with this evidence, tapes that have yet to be made public, that no one knows that it exists, but they're supposedly these tapes of him saying things. Now, first of all, who's recording this stuff? Where'd these tapes come from? This is back in a day when you didn't just have a cell phone with a recorder on it. You had to physically have a tape recorder that actually had tape. They weren't digital back then. These recorders were not small, typically. In order to have a small tape recorder, it was actually kind of a big deal. They were not cheap. Not just everybody had one. So if they had a little spy recorder somewhere, this is back in the 60s, that kind of technology just wasn't there. We seem to think it's just everything's being recorded. Well, not back then it wasn't. And they somehow had these tapes of him being drunk and lascivious and flirting around with women and messing around with women and having all kinds of affairs and I think they even said something about prostitutes and going on and on with all these this blasphemous behavior and cussing and swearing and because they were trying to defame the guy with this information. Well, this is information that the FBI had. Now, they approached him with this. Someone wrote these letters. They didn't know who wrote the letters, but what we find out later is that the FBI was the one behind writing the letters. There were people at the FBI writing these letters. And they were threatening him, basically, with they were going to expose him unless he killed himself. He had 34 days, or whatever this one letter said. He had 34 days to do what you know is right. And it basically, you know, that his life needed to be ended, is what they were trying to tell him. Well, of course, this stuff was all swept under the rug and locked up for several years. Classified documents are classified for so long. And now it's kind of come out late enough that everybody that was involved is basically gone dead, whatever. So now this information comes out. Well, the problem with this is, if you remember, early on in the Trump presidency in 2017, in the first few months of him being sworn into office, a Mr. James Comey approached the president in a private meeting, just happened to stick around after everybody else left the room, stick around and have a little private meeting with the president. And he brought out the dossier with all this information about how President Trump had hired prostitutes to defecate on a bed that supposedly Barack Obama had slept in when he was in some other country. And President Trump said, this is crazy, it's ridiculous. And of course, it wasn't the reaction that Comey wanted. He said, we just want you to know this information. This is direct from Comey. He said, and I'm not a perfect quote to be clear, not because I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or a medical personnel or financial counselor. He ended up saying, this is the kind of stuff that's out there, Mr. President. And I think he was looking for a reaction. He was looking for, is this true? I think he was fishing to see what kind of reaction the president gave him. Well, the reaction the president gave him was he got fired. There's your reaction for you. Now, Trump never said why he fired him. He just said he's a bad guy. But he's basically, now in this interview with Gorka, he basically says he's going to have to fire a bunch of guys. There's a lot of people going to have to go. Now, how they replace them all? He said he's got people who know the insides and outs of the whole thing, and they know what to do. Mike Flynn is probably one of those people. It'd be interesting to see what happens with all that. Now, some of these people who are heads of organizations, like for a while there, I think what's his name? Raff, not Raffkin. What's the guy's name? It was head of the DNI for a while. Just the head intelligence agency that's in charge of all the other intelligence agencies. He was a senator or congressman for a while, and he ended up taking the position of head of the DNI. Whatever it was. He was there for a short period of time, and there was another guy who was in that position. They only get told what the people below them want to tell them. There's this middle management thing at these organizations, and they can play those guys just like they can play anybody else. There's people that are running the administrative part. The people like Peter Strzok and all those people who were kind of in the middle. They were directly working for Comey, but Comey. They can insulate Comey. It's there for purposes of insulation and or manipulation, one of the two. That's what it's there for. These middlemen work. So, it was Andy McCabe. Is it McCabe? I think it was McCabe, whatever his name is. He was kind of the head of that little clan. So we have this stuff going on. This is very similar to the shakedown that they tried to do with Martin Luther King Jr. Now, I don't know if Martin Luther King Jr. was, a philanderer. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know. We'll never know till, you know, everything is known. But regardless of that, the FBI still used this information, whether it was real or not, to try to manipulate Martin Luther King Jr. They're trying to do the same thing with Donald Trump. And this, and don't think that this is the first time that they've done this, or the last time that they will do it. They are doing it every day with congressmen and senators that you all of a sudden find out, oh, gee, they're... Now, there was an interesting interchange with Lindsey Graham and the head of the FBI at that time. I believe it was Director Wray. The very first question that came out of Lindsey Graham's mouth when they had called him before the Senate commission, how's everything going over there at the FBI? You got enough funding? Got the funding you need? You know, you guys need any money? Maybe it wasn't Wray. It was somebody else that was under Wray. Or some organization. Starts in with this line of questioning about the funding. There's a backstory here that we're not hearing. Something else is going on here. Because the way he was asking the question was kind of this, hey, I want to remind you, you know, I voted for your money, you know. And we'll vote to take that away. You know, if you don't fess up here and play some ball with us. Remember the funding? And it almost seemed as if it was some kind of deal they had made. And I wouldn't be surprised if Lindsey Graham has some kind of dirt that they know about. So they're trying to manipulate him into doing that. And he was trying to strong arm them back, push back a little bit there. Say, you know, we got your funding. Got all the money you wanted. Got all your toys there. You're going to answer these questions? That's kind of where he was going with that. He wanted to remind him of of the favors he had done for them. Now, of course, that probably involved the favors they did for him by not exposing him in some way. I just don't put it past them to do those things. It's definitely a lot of issues there. So, having said all that, we have the FBI operating the same MO, same operation, same thing they've always done in this case. Now, having said all that, let us focus now on what the road ahead, what we're about to see. The deep state wants in no, and again, I keep hearing about the race between Biden and Trump. We have until August to find out who the nominee, who's going to be on the ticket in November. And I one of the things that is happening, which is kind of a brilliant strategy, some of these states they're going to allow ballot harvesting. They've actually made it part of their rules that you can do ballot harvesting now in some of these states. Trump made a brilliant move. He has hired some very capable and very skilled individuals to take over the ballot harvesting process for the Republican Party. Part of the problem with the ballot harvesting has been that there's been fake ballots, and they can't verify those things. So they can say there was no widespread, you know, election fraud. Well, you can't prove it because of the fact that you can't go back and check and see if those actual people actually voted. Now, there was just small investigations done by private organizations that were, and some of them ended up in jail because of the investigative techniques they were using to find out some of this stuff. But they were finding all kinds of things. They were finding tens of thousands of votes that were non-verifiable. They couldn't find the people. They were fake, phony. And they ended up in jail. They ended up with gag orders, all kinds. This gag order thing is ridiculous. They're putting this stuff on Trump so he can't talk about his trial cases. That's not the judge that should make those decisions. Usually the lawyer will tell you you can't talk about the case outside of this. You know, they don't want you talking about the case because it can jeopardize your case. If the client wants to talk about the case, they can talk about the case all they want to. It's typically their lawyer that tells them to be quiet, not the judge. The gag order stuff is typically for incendiary comments. to protect individuals. But that's not what's happening here. It's not what the gag orders are putting on Trump. It's not happening. I guess Trump now is pushing back. He's actually going to try to defy some of these orders that have been put on him and basically tempting them to arrest him. He's like, go ahead and try to arrest me. Now, they will. They are chomping at the bit to try to find a reason to perp walk this guy in cuffs and put him in prison. They don't realize that will get him elected. Of course, they don't care. They'll call him a felon. They'll call him whatever they can. Now, this other issue of the Republican Party losing control of the House before August is a possibility. And that in and of itself is probably the most dangerous thing that could happen right now, because they could vote. They could technically vote to call him an insurrectionist. And, of course, that's going to go to the Senate. And, of course, the Senate's going to win that one. So this could turn into a very interesting and very dangerous situation very quickly. Now, having said all that, I think it's very important that we realize again that, of course, God is in control of this mess. When we say that God reigns and God is sovereign within himself, he's sovereign within his kingdom, he's sovereign within his rule. Outside of that, not so much. I know this brings up a lot of contention with some people, but he has given us this weird situation where we have free will. He will not step across that line. He will do everything up to that line, but he will not step across that line. And so he leaves some things in our hands. He's entrusting us with some things as his children. And that is to allow him by his Spirit to work through us and make changes in society, be the salt of the earth, be the light on a hill. So it is in this vein that we must continue to operate on our knees, much like Moses, who on his face before God said, I'm not getting up from this place unless I know I'm leaving with you. And that's kind of the way we need to be on our knees. We are on our knees, and we're not going to get off of our knees until we know we're rising up under the guidance, under the leadership of his Holy Spirit. We'll move forward in him, because nothing else matters right now. And that's where we are as a nation right now. That's where we always should be as believers, in my opinion. But that's where this nation needs to be, is on its knees, on its face before God, and so be it. Whatever comes, come what may, kind of thing. Well, folks, I want to thank you once again for listening. Tomorrow, like I said, tomorrow morning there will be a much longer, hopefully more quality show. Possibly live. I don't know how that's going to go. I do have a few things I need to get done in the morning. But in the meantime, I do want to thank you for listening, for sharing, subscribing, all the things that you guys do out there. I don't have a sponsor. I don't make money at this podcast. I'm not funded. I don't post this any place that makes me any money. Clicks don't make me any money. That's not what this is about. This is just about getting the word out, having a conversation. Right or wrong, I want to be able to share my opinions and work those things out, work those things through with all of you as we're on this journey of life. So as we go into the rest of our day here, folks, just remember to stay in prayer for our nation, for our leaders, for the truth to be seen and heard throughout our nation. Because that really is, let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved. I really do agree that that's where we need to be in this country. Once again, folks, God bless. Have a great day.